So, continuing on from the series of the I am statements, we're going to look at the I am statement that I am the gate or the door. Part of this would also incorporate the other statement that Christ makes of him being the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. But the focus of today's sermon would be, I am the gate. So in Britain, we have many big and impressive castles. What makes a good castle? They have high walls, they have watchtowers, and they're made of stone. All of these have been used to protect what's inside. This could be goods, treasures, but most importantly, it's been designed to protect the people inside of the castle. However, the castle has a design flaw. It has an entrance, a gate, a door, and the enemy knows that they're going to use this to their advantage. That is why the gate and the door to the castle were designed to be strong, sturdy, so it would give the enemy not an opportunity so that they can invade the castle. Furthermore, the gate of the castle is designed as a flow point for the castle, controlling what goes in and what goes out. Therefore, it plays an integral role, part of the safety and the protection of the people in the castle. So, as we read verse 1 in John 10, the beginning with, truly, truly, I say to you. I know this isn't found in the NIV, but in other translations it is. Truly, truly is a translation of the Greek, which means amen, amen, which is used to emphasize the truth and the importance of what follows. The double affirmation is unique to the Gospel of John and serves to highlight the authority of Jesus' words. Furthermore, the cultural context of the time, such as repetition, was used to underline the reliability and the seriousness of the statement, linking it to a solemn oath. Therefore, we should be focusing on all things Jesus says, but particularly on points that he's trying to emphasize the importance and what he's about to say. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs it in by some other way, is a thief or a robber. The sheep pen refers to protective enclosure for sheep. This would often be made of stone wall and have a single entrance, so like the picture I showed the children earlier. In biblical times, the shepherd would lead their sheep into these enclosures for safety during the night. The gate symbolizes the legitimate and the rightful way to enter, suggesting an order and a divine approval. This imagery is consistent with the Old Testament's references to God as the shepherd of Israel. So when we read Psalm 23:1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And in Ezekiel 34:11, it says, "For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them." Jesus is highlighting that there is only one way to enter the sheep pen. There is no other way but by the way of the gate. There is no other way but to access it through him. If an individual was to access it in any other way, it implies a deceitful and illegitimate way. In historical context, the thieves would often bypass the gate to steal the sheep, showing their unlawful intentions. This can be interpreted as false teachers or prophets who seek to lead God's people astray without divine authority or calling. If someone was to access it in any other way, they were to be considered a thief or a robber. The thief and the robber have come in an illegitimate way, and as a result, they are illegitimate. They are not part of the sheep pen, even though they are in it. This is like many religions and practices that say that they are part of God and know God, but they do not know him because they have not accessed him through the gates, the right and legal way. Have you accessed God and are part of the sheep pen, the right and legal way? Through the Lord Jesus and only through him. These are wolves in sheep's clothing. The false teachers and the prophets are individuals who use terms and say things you can enter through good works, listening to their rules, and that doesn't include the Lord Jesus or gives him limits to his grace. The thief and the robber are used to describe those who exploit and harm the flock, for they harm the flock for personal gain. A thief might steal it secretly, while a robber might use violence. The distinction highlights the dangers posed by those who do not enter through the legitimate ways. This means, this can be connected to warnings about false teachers and prophets who have come to deceive. We read that in Matthew 7:15. Watch out for the false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. Acts 20:29. I know that after I leave, the savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Verse 2. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. This gives us imagery of the contrast of the Lord Jesus as the good shepherd who enters by the gate and cares for his sheep. John 10:11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Emphasizing the legitimate and rightful way to enter of the shepherd, part of ancient Middle Eastern shepherding practice, the gate was the proper entrance to the sheepfold, distinguishing the true shepherd from the thieves and robbers who would climb over the wall. This gives us a contrast to Jesus with the false teachers. The gate symbolizes the lawful and divinely appointed way, reflecting the Lord Jesus' fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies about Messiah entering the proper channels. So we read this in Micah 5:2. But you, Bethlehem, Ephraim, through you are a small among the clans of Judah. Out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. We also read about it in Isaiah 53. The term shepherd is well known among the Bible as a metaphor for leadership and the one who cares. This is seen in figures like David's. So when we read in 1 Samuel 16:11, so he asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? There is still the youngest, Jesse answered, "He is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." And in Psalm 23, God is depicted as the shepherd. John 10 identifies the Lord Jesus himself as the good shepherd, indicating his role as the true leader, the caretaker of his people. This phrase highlights his authority and responsibility, contrasting with false shepherds who exploit the flock, the sheep. The shepherd's role involves guidance, protection, and provision, reflecting the Lord Jesus' mission to lead the followers to spiritual safety and nourishment. This is a calling for all leaders to emulate the Lord Jesus, entering through the gate and leading with integrity and care for the flock. Additionally, security in the shepherd. We as believers can find security and guidance in the Lord Jesus, the true shepherd who knows and cares for his sheep personally. So we read this in Hebrews 13:20. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. Verse 3, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Part of Middle Eastern shepherding practices, a gatekeeper was responsible for the guarding of the sheepfold, ensuring that only the shepherd, the rightful shepherd, could enter. This gives us a picture and shows the role of divine authority and order. The gatekeeper can be seen as the representation of God the Father, who grants Jesus, the good shepherd, access to his flock. Therefore, the Lord Jesus is the only legitimate way to the Father. We read about this in John 14:6. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The gatekeeper's role gives legitimacy and divine approval of the Lord's ministry, his role as the shepherd, which was to lay down his life for his own. The sheep listen to his voice. Sheep are known to have the ability to recognize the voice of the shepherd, distinguishing it from others. This phrase emphasizes the intimate relationship between the Lord Jesus and his own, who are attuned to his teachings and guidance. This is important for you to know the voice of God, to reflect on his calling, and for his church to discern and follow his voice, the voice of truth, in the midst of many voices in this world. John 1 John 4:1 reads, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." The ability to hear and respond to the Lord Jesus' voice is a mark of a true disciple. Do you know his voice? Do you listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name. We have the personal and individual care of the Lord Jesus for each of his own. To have been named or have your name known indicates a deep familiarity and bond. This personal calling signifies the intimate relationship the Lord Jesus desires with each and every one of us. This is echoed in the Old Testament. God's personal knowledge and care for his own people, we read in Isaiah 43:1. But now that this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. Furthermore, this reflects a prophetic fulfillment of the Messiah as a shepherd who knows his flock intimately. We read this in Ezekiel 34:11-16. Verse 6, Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Jesus used this figure of speech. The Lord Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees and the people around him. The figure refers to the parable of the Good Shepherd, which is a common teaching method used by the Lord Jesus to convey a spiritual truth through everyday imagery. Shepherding was a familiar occupation in ancient Israel. The imagery of sheep and a shepherd is prevalent throughout the Bible, symbolizing God's relationship with his people. The Lord Jesus often used parables to reveal truths to those who were open to his understanding, while concealing them from those who are not receptive. We read this in Matthew 13:10-17. But they did not understand. The lack of understanding among the Lord Jesus' audience, particularly the Pharisees, highlights their spiritual blindness, an inability to grasp the deeper truths of his message. We see this theme and of misunderstanding recurring throughout the Gospels, where the Lord Jesus' teachings are often met with confusion or rejection by those who are spiritually hardened or self-righteous. John 8:43 and 1 Corinthians 2:14. So the inability to understand is not due to the complexity of the message, but rather the condition of their heart. So verse 7, therefore Jesus said again, verily, truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. The Lord Jesus said again, this repetition emphasizing the importance of his message. The Lord Jesus often repeated his teachings to ensure the understandings. So in John 10, he is addressing the Pharisees who are struggling to comprehend his previous parable. Repetition is often a common teaching method in Jewish tradition and is used to reinforce key points. Have you bowed the knee? Have you listened to his calling? Or is he still calling you to be part of his fold? I am the gate for the sheep. The Lord Jesus' claim echoes his exclusive role as mediator between God and humanity, fulfilling prophecies of the Messiah as the way to God, as the gate, the Lord Jesus provides security, protection for his own. Believers can find comfort. Believers can find comfort in knowing that there is spiritual safety and assurance in him, giving us an idea the gate offers a defense and a shielding from the enemy. Like vulnerable sheep, we need protection. We need guidance. We need safety from the onslaughts of the enemy. At night, the sheep would be most vulnerable. The gate and the wall offer a barrier between the sheep and the outside. The Lord Jesus is that barrier and that protection. When we feel most vulnerable in this dark world, we can find comfort in the Lord, knowing that he is the gate, our shield and our protector. The gate is an invitation for all to enter into the fold of God. John 3:16-17. Furthermore, it challenges believers to share this invitation with others, emphasizing evangelism. We read that in the Great Commission. Are you being challenged by that? Are you going out and telling people about the Lord Jesus? Living in the pen means we are part of a community with other believers. This involves us to have mutual care and accountability and grow in faith. Therefore, we should be involved in each other's lives, actively seeking to be part of the church. Are you seeking to be part of the church and wanting to be involved? Verse 9, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pastures. I am the gate. The concept of the Lord Jesus is the sole entry point, aligned with other I am statements, such as, I am the way, the truth, and the life, in John 14:6, underlining his unique authority. If anyone enters through me, we see this exclusivity of the offer of salvation available to anyone who chooses to enter through the Lord Jesus. The act of entering through me signifies faith in Jesus as a Messiah and accepts his redemptive work. This echoes the invitation found in Matthew 11:28. Sorry, come to me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He will be saved. The promise of salvation is central to the Christian faith, encompassing deliverance from sins and its consequences, including internal separation from God. This assurance of salvation is a recurring theme in the New Testament and is seen in the passage like Romans 10:9. If we declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you are saved. The certainty of salvation through Jesus alone is a cornerstone of the Christian doctrine. He will come in and go out. This phrase suggests freedom and security for those who are in Christ. The sheep that come in and go out are under the care and the trustworthy shepherd, free from fear of the predators and thieves. Spiritually, this represents that believers have liberty in Christ, as well as assurance of his constant presence and protection. It reflects the peace and the conflict found in Psalms 121, verse 8. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forever. And find pastures. Finding pastures shows us that we have provision, sustenance, and spiritual nourishment. This, in the Bible times, was what pastures were essential for the well-being of the sheep, representing their abundance and care. This is the fulfillment and satisfaction found in the relationship with Christ, as he provides for the needs of his own. This is we can see this in Psalm 23:1-2. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. The Lord Jesus, as the good shepherd, ensures his flock will be well fed, well cared for, both physically and spiritually. Verse 10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and life to the full. Everything outside of Christ brings death and destruction, but we can find fulfillment and life in the Lord Jesus. Amen.